Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is a very special edition of Locked On Wolves. Tonight is the playing game Wolves Clippers. That means today is a Locked On crossover episode with yours truly and Chuck Mockler, the host of Locked On Clippers. We're going to break down the entire matchup, what we're both looking forward to, what we're nervous about as we cover our respective teams for Tuesday night's game. Plus, I talked to Ron Johnson of the Locked On Sports Minnesota podcast about the Wolves Clippers matchup. It's all upcoming here on the show today. We're going to get right into it. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into a crossover Locked On Play-In Edition podcast. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves here with Chuck Mockler of Locked On Clippers. How's it going, Chuck?
Pretty good. Very nervous. We're recording this the night before, but yeah, don't know what to expect, but we can all guarantee it's probably going to be pretty tense.
You're nervous. I'm nervous. I speak for all Timberwolves fans in saying that we're collectively nervous. I should say today's episode is brought to us by our friends over at Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So what we're going to do, we're going to preview this series. I keep thinking of it as a series. We're going to preview this one crazy single game to determine who gets the seven seed and just kind of go back and forth with what we might expect to see, what we're nervous about, what we're excited to see. The season series, as we know, the Clippers won three games. The Timberwolves only won one. Three of those came in like an 11-day span back in November, though. Both teams looked very different. Yeah. I guess Paul George played in those games, No D'Angelo Russell in two of those three games, I believe. And then the one game the Timberwolves won, no Karl Anthony Towns. So both teams are very different.
Yes, it's very difficult to project what's going to happen in this game. They haven't seen, like you said, the full versions of each other. It's just kind of been these weird, incomplete. And, you know, we saw the Timberwolves before the trade deadline. So it's way different now, too. You mentioned earlier when we were kind of going back and forth about this, you know, Vanderbilt wasn't starting in the first two games, which is, you know, kind of a big deal now. So it's going to be interesting. I'm a little interested to see. I mean, the Clippers live and die basically on paint touches on the offense. If we're getting paint touches, things are usually going pretty well. And with Norm coming to the team, that's really helped things out. But it's just a new look Clippers team versus this Wolves team that's playing some pretty good basketball right now.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm worried about, conversely, is the Timberwolves struggle to defend the paint oftentimes. Their whole goal is to not allow the ball to get that deep, because if it's gotten into the paint, they're in trouble. They don't have really paint protectors. Naz Reid's fine when he's in the game, but he's only in the game when Cat's off the floor, and then you've obviously got bigger problems when Cat's not on the floor. Jared Vanderbilt's an okay shot blocker, but he's more about, you know, being rangy and athletic, being mobile. The Timberwolves are just trying to essentially blitz the pick and roll. They're trying to play a high wall pick and roll defense. And the Clippers are a smart, crafty veteran team that very well could find a way to kind of get around that aggressive defense and use the Timberwolves' aggression against them. That's one of the things the Wolves have struggled with, is occasionally gambling a little too much, not recovering on the back end defensively. So paint touches are certainly something that I'd be worried about. And then along with that, rebounding the basketball. Neither team's a good defensive rebounding team.
No, they're not.
But like going back and looking at it, the Clippers dominated the glass in those first three games in November. And, you know, obviously you look at it now, and I believe the Clippers are like bottom three in defensive rebound rate. The Wolves are as well. So I don't know what to expect there necessarily. I feel like maybe the Clippers shifted their strategy or will shift their strategy again against the Wolves because the Timberwolves are so bad on the defensive glass. What do you think about that?
The glass is interesting. I put in my notes that, you know, the Wolves, for as bad as they are at defensive rebounding, are borderline elite at offensive rebounding.
Yeah.
Top 10 in offensive rebounds per game, top 10 offensive rebound percentage. You have Patrick Beverley, who, if there's a bet to take on, you know, spiteful offensive rebounds, I would take the over on it. So I'm really worried about that, honestly, for the Clippers. That is how we've lost to good teams. That's how we've lost to some teams maybe we should have beat. But we need Terrence Mann to be really active when he's out there. We need Marcus Morris doesn't grab a bunch of rebounds, but good things tend to happen for him offensively, kind of bringing the ball up after he does do that. So I'm really hoping our wings, if they're not too tired from chasing around, you know, the size that you guys have, are going to be able to kind of crash on the glass. Zubats is okay against Karl Anthony Towns. He's as good as he kind of wants to be in terms of physicality. So he's going to be sealing him off and We just need guys to crash the glass.
Yeah, Zubats didn't play in the game that the Timberwolves won. Neither did Karl Anthony Towns, by the way. That was in like early January, I think. But Towns actually struggled with Zubats a little bit. And we'll get to this, I think, a little bit later, how the Clippers actually defended Towns. And they were one of the teams that kind of set the blueprint for how to defend Towns early in the season. Mm-hmm. Now, Towns is a different player than he was in November as well. But Zubats' physicality in the paint, he's one of the few Clippers that can rebound his position fairly well. That could be a challenge for Minnesota. One other thing that I flagged as something that I'm worried about is point of attack defense. That's been one of the challenges for the Wolves all year. I don't know exactly how they're going to try and guard Paul George. He obviously didn't play in the game the Wolves beat the Clippers in January, but I think two of the three he played in November, he was just completely dominant. It was right during a stretch that the Clippers were playing phenomenal, and so was Paul George. Or actually, I think the start of that stretch, the Clippers weren't, but they kind of turned it around against the Wolves, if I'm remembering correctly. And the Wolves, I don't know how they're going to guard Paul George. I tend to think it'll be a little bit of Anthony Edwards. He's actually been, despite how terrible he was overall defensively as a rookie, and he still has bad lapses off the ball, he's actually been, I would call him a slightly above average on-ball defender, and at times very good. But there's also the foul trouble thing. You want to be careful there. So I think we'll see some Jared Vanderbilt. We may see some Jaden McDaniels on Paul George. I don't think we'll see much Patrick Beverley there, but we might. Point of attack defense is something the Wolves have really been on a roller coaster with all season.
That's kind of, I feel like these teams are kind of looking in the mirror a bit with some of their strengths and weaknesses, because with the Clippers, if Reggie Jackson isn't exactly, you know, he's not a lockdown defender. I'm not saying that at all. But if he's not locked into defense, you can really just kind of see him chasing the ball and things will look good. And same with Marcus Morris. Nick Batum's going to be starting in this game with Marcus Morris. I hope Batum doesn't have to do too much to kind of shore everything up if Marcus Morris isn't, you know, fully there, you know, physically or just mentally as well. We've seen some lapses on that end too. So it really feels like it's going to be battle of which team can just string together a couple paint stops in a row to try and put the other one, you know, behind the eight ball. The Clippers also, the offense is fantastic right now. I think the last six games, it's like 124 rating. I know we ended on a back-to-back against the Kings and whatever the Thunder are doing, so it is skewed a little bit, but if we cannot get down 10 points in the first quarter, I will really like our chances in this game, because the Clippers do tend to make things a little harder than they need to be sometimes.
Yeah, and the Timberwolves, one of their trends recently is Karl-Anthony Towns has had monster first quarters, but then hasn't done much the rest of the game as opposing teams kind of adjust. You know, he hits the bench early second quarter typically, and I don't know if it's just the rest throws him off, or it's sometimes it is adjustments by the opposing coach, and then he kind of slows down the rest of the game. If the Wolves do get off to a good start, you know, I hope that there's no overconfidence on the Timberwolves' part, because that has happened, and everybody's kind of talked about these cocky young Wolves that are trying to, you know, everybody knows about clowning Russell Westbrook, which I'm sure you don't mind. You know, some of that stuff. So who knows? You mentioned Morris, and you mentioned physicality. We talked about points in the paint, and the battle in the paint. Something that I'm a little bit worried about as well with the Wolves is they do struggle sometimes with physicality, and while they will play kind of in your face and they'll talk the talk, they don't always walk the walk when it comes to physicality. And Patrick Beverley's an exception, obviously.
Sure. Of course.
But I mean, like they can shy away sometimes, and they can also get ahead of themselves in terms of being worried about the officiating and, you know, Beverley, of course, also Karl Anthony Towns. And that worries me a little in a play-in in a one game situation.
Yeah, we talked on our last episode. We're wondering if there's going to be any kind of, you know, because the Clippers know Pat Bev and maybe know what can kind of get under his skin a little bit. We wonder if there's going to be some gamesmanship there between some of the older Clippers and Pat Bev.
Yeah.
I think the home court advantage is going to be huge for you guys. I think that the stadium is going to be absolutely insane in Minnesota. But that could maybe play into getting a little ahead of themselves. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I'm just hoping we don't have to see the comeback Clips again. I'm wondering kind of what the bench rotation looks like for the Clippers. Luke Kennard is questionable with a sore hamstring, which regular season, it's a big deal. Playoffs, it's a big deal as well. The floor spacing is, you know, we have a lot of good catch and shoot guys, a couple guys in the 40s, a couple guys in the high 30s. So it's not like there's a steep drop off, but we still need that spacing. And for what it's worth, our athletic reporter, Law Murray, said he'd be surprised if Kennard played. So I'm actually genuinely hoping Ty Lue kind of throws you and Chris Finch a curveball by going with Norm and Covington off the bench for Reggie and Zoo, and to go five early in this one.
Interesting. Yeah, the Wolves bench rotation, excuse me, hasn't been super consistent. And I think one of the things Chris Finch has been good at in his first full year as a head coach is pushing the right buttons and, you know, adjusting on the fly. But again, we're talking about one game. This isn't a 7-game series, and it is essentially
terrifying.
It is. And like, how fast you pull the plug on your game plan, like how, you know, how do you adjust? And Ty Lue's obviously got far more experience at the NBA level in the playoffs. Sure. I mean, Chris Finch has zero, but what does that look like in this one game? How quickly does either coach adjust? And the Wolves bench is, for a while, it was for a chunk, like January to mid-February, it was the highest scoring bench in the league. And then recently it's kind of fallen back again, which is what we saw early this season. It's kind of, is Malik Beasley on? Is Jalen Noel on? How many minutes does Jalen Noel get? Is Jaden McDaniels kind of floating around, or is he being aggressive, putting the ball on the floor, making his open three-point attempts? One of the things I said about the Clippers earlier this year is their depth, which generally should matter less in a one game play-in because you're playing your guys, but
yeah, exactly.
I mean, you never know with foul trouble and everything else.
And there probably will be some foul trouble. I think Zoo, if there's probably going to be a tight whistle on him, there tends to be, he of course never thinks he commits a foul, but if Zoo gets into foul trouble early, we will need Hartenstein to bring that physicality and the ball movement that he can. And kind of shoulder a pretty important load in terms of like regular play and responsibility that he maybe hasn't seen in the regular season.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Next, let's talk about, we're going to get to talk about some key matchups in this game, individual players, et cetera. First though, Chuck, I think you want to tell us about Prize Picks.
Oh, I've been dying to talk about Prize Picks. We talked about it right off top. Prize Picks does have the most NBA DFS prop games on the market. It is the best as well. Excuse me. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator, and offer all the superstar players, as well as the Malik Beasleys and Isaiah Hartensteins of the world, only recording a handful of minutes during the game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown and three-pointers made. If you deposit $100 and use promo code NBA, you'll get matched up to $100, which is fantastic. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries. You can bet on Mahomes' touchdowns. You can bet on which team Frank Vogel's going to end up on. Maybe, who knows? Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And if I wanted to maybe bet somewhere else online, where could I do that, Ben?
Let me tell you, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. We were actually just talking about the line before this. The Timberwolves are favored by 2.5 at home. The over-under, for what it's worth, is 230.5, which is actually only the second highest over-under among the playing games. Hornets and Hawks, maybe no surprise, are 237. Every Clippers-Wolves game this year has been really high-scoring. I haven't done the math to see exactly how high-scoring, but they were all blowouts. They all featured a lot of points scored. I don't know. Wolves by 2.5. I would have predicted that the line was around 2, so it's maybe a little higher than I would have said it. I don't know.
Seems... I think I'd maybe go under, but I still would pick the Clips on the money line.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and new features, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right. Now that we have wagered a considerable amount of money on these two different platforms we have, let's talk key matchups. Ben, you kind of alluded to the point of attack defense, and I see that that is also on your key matchups.
It is. Who's Patrick Beverley going to guard, which I think is interesting. Also, for a lot of reasons, maybe most importantly, though, I mentioned this earlier, who's going to guard Paul George? I do think it could be Jared Vanderbilt off the opening tip. We've seen him take on some bigger wings. He's obviously, he's the four on the Timberwolves, and he a little undersized in terms of his height, but he's very long. He's athletic. He's extremely mobile. And he is comfortable playing on the perimeter. He also is prone to getting into foul trouble against quicker wings because he is, after all, power forward. And they've gotten into some trouble this year with some of those matchups where he picks up a couple of quick fouls. And, you know, going to Jaden McDaniels, I would actually argue Jaden McDaniels is the better perimeter defender, but he's been even more foul prone than Vanderbilt, and he doesn't start. So I think Vando probably starts on Paul George. And then, you know, they generally try and hide D'Lo a little bit, although he's been better this year on the ball than he has been really ever in his career, in my opinion. He's been roughly, I think, average in terms of on-ball defense, which is a huge win. And Anthony Edwards has been pretty good too. So, you know, foul trouble is something you have to consider, but I think it's whoever's guarding Paul George, can they make his life difficult and not get into serious foul trouble?
Yeah, I'm wondering if you guys are going to blitz Paul George kind of on the pick and roll. It kind of tends to be, yeah, like Ant and Vanderbilt coming at him in the pick and roll. Mm-hmm. Ty Lue has joked that he hopes teams blitz Paul George kind of on the pick and roll because he has been really good at playmaking, all things considered, for what Paul George can do. So if Paul George's passing is on point early and we don't see – there's a very common thread sometimes with Paul George's playmaking is there will just be a what the fuck was that turnover where you're just like, why is it so nonchalant? Why are you passing it to a guy in the second row? So if that's locked in early and if the Wolves are blitzing and kind of have to hedge those bets, I really like the Clippers' chances at getting those paint touches and at least creating opportunities for themselves.
Yeah, and the MO for the Wolves' defense earlier this year was they were getting by. It felt a little bit like it was smoke and mirrors because they were a terrible defensive rebounding team. They were worse than the NBA for most of the year. They committed the most fouls of any defense. They still do. I think they're 29th in opponent foul rate or defensive free throw rate. They're 29th. And the Clippers, of course, don't get to the line that often. But those two statistics, it's two of the four factors, right? And how are the Wolves a top 10 defense, which they were until really the end of December when COVID hit the team. But it's because they were blitzing teams and they were being aggressive. They were using their length and their athleticism. And they weren't putting Karl-Anthony Towns into a stupid drop coverage like they did the last 4 years. And it worked. But then, of course, teams figured out how to beat it. They were essentially throwing skip passes, just moving the ball quickly. And back cuts were killing the Timberwolves. So then the Wolves tried to adjust. And more recently, they mixed in some drop coverage. They mixed in switching on the pick and roll, which has been more of a mixed bag. The drop coverage still hasn't really worked. And the idea, obviously, is that you can have multiple looks when it comes to the playoffs. But the only thing that, in my opinion, they've been consistently good at is playing that high wall pick and roll, aggressive blitzing coverage where they're getting their hands in the passing lane. And if you have somebody who's on point, like a Paul George or Reggie Jackson, I know has been really up and down as he typically is, but he was really good against the Wolves earlier this year. I mean, those are the types of guys that can beat this coverage. And that worries me a little bit.
Yeah. If it's going to be interesting how we kind of stagger Paul George. He probably will play the whole first quarter. So we're going to see him and Norm early. And if those two are clicking early, I feel pretty good about their chances. In this one, it's been, I think, just 4 games together. So they're kind of learning on the fly for sure. And Reggie Jackson, you mentioned him being up and down. It's the Reggie roller coaster that we've all come to kind of just accept our fate. Like, he's either going to score 15 points on 16 shots, or he's going to put up, you know, 32 on 18 shots, and it's going to be fantastic. Thankfully, his usage won't be as high in that scenario, or in this scenario, excuse me. And you kind of touched on this about D'Angelo Russell. The Clippers should be looking to put him in motion whenever he's on the floor.
Yep.
And I think we'll see a pretty healthy dose of just trying to get the switch on to D'Lo.
Yeah, and he, one of his issues has always been he doesn't fight through screens. He's an intelligent player and he is very long and he's pretty big for a point guard, but he doesn't fight through screens. He doesn't like to get physical and he's not super athletic. And so those kind of combined, he can get lost in the wash pretty easily. And if he's on, he's actually a fairly average on ball defender this year and can do those things. You'd like to think that the effort's there in a play-in game and a one game situation, but that makes a lot of sense. The other thing is how the Clippers, and I'm curious to see what you think about this, how the Clippers are going to guard Karl-Anthony Towns. We saw them kind of create the blueprint I mentioned earlier for how to defend Towns early in the year. The Wolves were putting him in the post. He was destroying teams the first couple of weeks of the season. The Clippers said, hey, we're going to guard him with Nicholas Batum. We're going to, you know, put Zubats on, I think, Jared Vanderbilt, I guess, or whoever was starting at the time, McDaniels, who's not an offensive threat. And then we can bracket him. If Towns goes in the post on Batum, we can front him. We can bring some help from the backside. And now the counter to that, more recently has been Towns is just playing on the perimeter all the time. And if you put a 4 on him, he can find his way into the post. He can shoot the 3. He could take, if you put a big on him, he's going to take him off the dribble. So I'm curious what you think the Clippers are going to try and do to slow down Towns.
I think we're going to see Batum on him early, for sure. And then just kind of hope the hedging with Zoo works. I'm also, you know, Ty Lue's talked about how the Clippers haven't been playing what they've been practicing, right? Like these last 4 games, you know, those last 2 games, no one played on Sunday. The other one was against the Kings on Saturday. We had, you know, it just wasn't the time to show what you're going to do 4 days later in the play-in. So I don't think we'll see something, you know, anything too crazy. I just think we might go small a little sooner just to make kind of, you know, the Wolves and Cat just run around a little bit and get your guys in motion. But I'm a little nervous at how much responsibility Nick Batum does have in this game. Not that I don't think he can do it. It's just kind of it's an important hinge for him to be. And we mentioned the Zoo foul trouble. If Zoo gets into foul trouble, I'm not sure what the communication looks like with Batum and whoever else is going to be next to him if we have to kind of run some newer lineups.
Yeah, and Towns' foul trouble, I mean, he's still one of the more foul-prone players in the league. He's cut back on the offensive fouls a lot, which are typically cheap offensive fouls where he just doesn't control himself. He picks up a lazy moving screen foul, you know, maybe once a game still, but it's still far down. It was like midway through the season, and it was still almost a third of his foul calls were offensive fouls. It was the highest offensive foul rate. Yeah, it was crazy. It was like 32% or something, which was by far the highest percentage of personal fouls that were on the offensive end of anybody in the league. For the most part, part of the reason the Timberwolves started playing high walls to protect Towns, and he's also long and he's pretty mobile, but that, you know, helped keep him from getting into too much foul trouble by getting plain drop coverage and swiping at the ball, which he had a bad habit of doing, or getting beat at the rim. So generally they've improved there, but it's always a concern because if Towns gets into foul trouble, obviously everything kind of unravels. And all it takes is a couple of dumb plays and he's prone to do that. And they're in a bad way.
Two fouls on the first would be a nightmare for Collin or kind of for Zubats. So real quick, I know we're coming to the closer of this segment. Give me one non-starter who you think is going to be a big factor in this game. And then just a quick, you know, maybe two sentence prediction.
Non-starter, man. I'm going to go with, I want to say Jalen Noel because I love Jalen Noel. I guess I have to stick with it since I said it. Malik Beasley would be the other one. If I could cheat and pick two, it'd be Jalen Noel because I think this is the type of moment that he's all about. He's a dynamic scorer. He's been way better than Malik Beasley this year. Beasley's obviously got the contract. He's the better shooter, you know, in a vacuum, but he just hasn't had a good season. So if Beasley's off, my hope is that Chris Finch pivots to Jalen Noel early on. Jalen Noel could make a couple of big shots, but I think that's going to be it. In terms of a prediction, I'm going to say the Timberwolves do win. I'm going to say that it's a pretty close game. I do think they cover the 2.5, and I think they win by, I'll call it, two possessions.
That's legit. I've already talked about Norm Powell, so I'm going with Robert Covington. He has been a godsend for this team's deflections. I think he's the only player in the league with 90 blocks and steals or something like that, which is absolutely insane for what we got him for. So I think it's going to be Covington. I'm hoping he hits, you know, two of his three threes that he takes, and we're going to need it because he's been a great stabilizer for us, especially late. I'm picking the Clippers. I have to. I think it's going to be a one possession game, which is terrifying, and I'm very nervous. But I also want to say, I'm happy we're playing the Timberwolves strictly from a basketball perspective. Yeah. This is going to be a good game. There's drama with Pat Bev and everything like that. But I mean, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be rocking in Minnesota for sure.
Yeah, it definitely will be. Target Center hasn't seen a meaningful game like this in 3+ years. And once now in the last 18 years. So, or one other season in 18 years, superstars, you know, Towns, Paul George. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's easily the best, in my opinion, the best play-in matchup that there is. So, all right. Well, appreciate it, Chuck. You can go ahead and listen to this on either Locked On Clippers or Locked On Wolves. And of course, we'll both be after the game. We'll have post-game reactions on our respective shows as well. Thanks, Chuck.
100%. Yep. Thank you so much, Ben.
All right. Before we get to my conversation with Ron Johnson of Locked On Sports Minnesota, let's talk about our friends at Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil to even new carpet. You can explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, let's get to my conversation with Ron Johnson, of course, the host of Locked On Sports Minnesota. And a quick note, we recorded this before we knew that Kawhi Leonard was very likely not playing. I guess it's not official yet, but very likely not playing on Tuesday night. So Ron mentions Kawhi a little bit at the beginning, but ultimately we have a really good conversation about what he thinks is going to happen. He's got great perspective as a former pro athlete on the mentality, the idea of momentum, all that stuff is upcoming in our conversation. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Ron Johnson of Locked On Sports Minnesota. All right, as promised, I'm joined today on Locked On Wolves by Ron Johnson, former star wide receiver for the Golden Gophers, NFL draft pick of the Baltimore Ravens, and the host of the brand new show on Locked On, or the brand new Locked On show, Locked On Sports Minnesota. Appreciate you jumping on, Ron.
No, appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk a little Wolves Clippers play-in, of course, Tuesday night. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we could look at this. The Wolves haven't played the Clippers. They played them, I think, one time since December. So teams both look a lot different than what we saw back in December. Although Paul George is back for the Clippers, and he didn't play in the first, or he did play in the first three meetings, did not play in the most recent one. So a lot has changed on the Wolves side, too. Sitting here now, going into the play-in on Tuesday night, Ron, what gives you optimism that the Timberwolves can pull off a win? They are favored by, I think BetOnline.net has them favored by 2.5 points. So they are the favorite at home. What gives you optimism that the Wolves can pull out a win on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think favored by 2.5. I think that's a sure bet. I'm pretty sure they're going to win. I'm pretty sure they're going to cover that 2.5. The question mark was always Kawhi Leonard had been warming up. He had been working out. Rumors that he was going to try to come back, not for the play-in, but depending on what seed the Clippers end up, if they're eighth or if they're out, you know, or if they lose to the Timberwolves and then they have to win to stay in the eighth seed, does he come back for that game? I just hope Kawhi Leonard doesn't come back for the play-in game because that changes the mentality, I think, the dynamic. When you add a superstar, even at, I think they're saying maybe at 80%, 80% Kawhi Leonard on defense, because it's just a hand, is better than a lot of guys at 100%. You know, most of the guys probably 100%. And so you think about Anthony Edwards, you know, only having to deal with Paul George. You know, you think about D'Angelo Russell or what's his name, Karl-Anthony Towns, who could be the other guy to offset that scoring of Paul George. Because the way I look at it is you have to go star for star when it's points. If you think about LeBron James versus Steph Curry, that was always the equalizer, was when they added Kevin Durant, and they still had Klay Thompson. LeBron only had Kyrie. And yes, he had Kevin Love, but Kevin Love wasn't going to give you Kevin Durant or Steph or Klay Thompson production. And I think that's the key. You have to, stars have to match the other star. And I think Kat can neutralize the scoring of Paul George. That's where Anthony Edwards has to be that second piece to really come in. Also their bench too, but Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell have to be the big three, because now the Clippers, I don't think they have that. Even with Kawhi, you have a big two, but I don't think they have another piece that can go. You look at the five times they've played, the Clippers do have the edge there. The Clippers have outscored them. I forgot the number, like 551 points to 563 points. So it's not a big difference, but both teams and both wins, and all the wins actually, blew each other out.
Yep.
And that's the scary thing about it. So that 2 points, I think it's an easy bet, because it's always been blowouts no matter which way it goes. So if you're a Clippers fan and you think that 2 points is so low, I'm taking the Clippers. Or you're a Timberwolves fan and you're like, man, 2.5, that's nothing. They're going to blow these guys out, because that's what they do. The Clippers in the first half were the only team to be down and come back and win. And that was the deciding in that 2-3 right now. They're up 3-2 on the season for the Timberwolves. Whereas the Timberwolves, every time they were up, they won. Every time they were up, they won those two. Every time they were down, they lost. That was the one time the Clippers were the only team to be down at the half and come back and win. So I feel like whoever wins the first half, I don't know if there's a prop bet out there for that, but whoever wins the first half is going to win this game. I just don't think if the Clippers are down after the first half, they have enough to come back. If they do, you can post it on wherever you want. You guys can make fun of me. I was wrong, but I just feel like whoever wins the first half will win this game.
Yeah, and of course, Kawhi Leonard didn't play in any of those matchups early this year out with the injury. Paul George, as I said earlier, played in the first three, did not play in the one the Wolves won, and also Karl-Anthony Towns didn't play in that game either. Both teams were shorthanded. It really is, as you mentioned, all those games were blowouts. It's a really weird game to kind of preview and handicap because of that, because there weren't any close, like truly close games between the two teams. There was no Kawhi Leonard. D'Angelo Russell actually only played in one of the four games as well, and he should be healthy for this game. So it's really, we don't have a great comparison point for teams that have played each other so much. It's really strange. And to finish the season, the Timberwolves have are actually only 4-5 in their last nine games. The Clippers have won five straight. Does that give you any concern that the Wolves finished the year in kind of a, I mean, granted a tough schedule and they rested guys on Sunday, but Anthony Edwards didn't play all that well in the loss to the Bulls on Sunday for whatever that's worth. Does it worry you at all that the Wolves enter the playoffs, you know, on a little bit of a four wins in their last nine game schedule? The Clippers have won five straight. Do you buy that there's any momentum concerns there?
A little bit, but the thing about basketball that's so different from every other sport is, not every other sport, but I'm mainly talking football. Basketball and football are so different. When you rest guys in football, you're doing it because you don't want to get hit, you don't want to get banged up, and you're trying to get ready for the playoffs. When you rest guys in basketball, it's more so of just you're resting. And so they can get back into game speed the next week in practice because these guys can just go full speed. In football, that's the opposite. You cannot go. I mean, you can try it, but going full speed in practice against your own teammates is so hard in football. Offensive linemen can kind of get it. Receivers and DBs can get it, but you don't get the tackling. Running backs, you don't get the banging of the linebackers trying to hit you. It's just so different. So that's why a lot of coaches don't believe in resting in the NFL when they have a playoff lock. They might play their starters maybe the first half of that game and then rest them in the second half. But you rarely see a guy just completely sit a guy out. Besides, I think the old story about Reggie Wayne saying that he was X amount of yards away from a $500,000 bonus and Tony Dungy rested him. And after the game, Tony felt so bad because he's like, man, why didn't you tell me that you had a bonus? I would have gotten you the ball. And he was like, man, it's bigger than that. I'm worried about the playoffs too, coach. I don't care about that $500,000 bonus. I'll make it back up when we win the Super Bowl. And so that's a winner's mentality when you think about that, Reggie Wayne. I think that's where the Timberwolves are now. They have a winner's mentality. They feel like they can get it done. So I'm not too worried about that skid because, again, like you said, they're resting players. They kind of had it locked. They were the two games behind the Nuggets, and they needed the Nuggets to lose in order for them to even be worth trying to win the game to get to that sixth seed. So at that point, when you know you're stuck there, you know the team below you can't catch you either. It's just a weird position. And, sports is one of those things where resting and not resting, it's on a coach. Whatever you do, you have to live with. Momentum, though, look at the North Carolina Tar Heels. They were an eighth seed, but they finished the season out strong, especially knocking off Coach K in his final game at home. And I think that was the key. Even though they lost the ACC championship and they weren't ACC champs because I think Virginia Tech was, they still had that, like, that bravado. We beat Duke, so we know we can do this. And they showed it. They went all the way to the championship game as an eighth seed. So I'm not saying a seventh seed in the NBA can get it done, but I do think they can beat the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies are good, but I think they're young. They're just as young as the Timberwolves, but they only have Ja Morant. And now when you put Ja Morant back into a team that without him, I think only lost like two or three games without him. They were like 20-2 or something like that. Don't quote me on it, but to be that good without your star, and then you put your star back in, and can he really still flow? Does the team flow the way they did without him? You know, it's one of those things where there's no Michael Jordan, you pass the ball, you move it around. When there's Jordan, hey, you got to dump it into Jordan, let Jordan go to work. Same with LeBron. When LeBron's not playing, they move the ball around. When LeBron's in, hey, let's let LeBron do what he wants to do up top, let him do what he wants to do down low. So chemistry changes. I think that's going to be the key, is what does the chemistry look like with that two seed? And that's saying that the Timberwolves are going to win this game versus the Clippers.
Yeah, and that was going to be my last question for you. Is you said earlier you think the Wolves will win on Tuesday, and of course if they win, then they take on the Memphis Grizzlies. I believe that series starts Saturday. If they lose, of course they'll be in the final, the play-in for the winner of Spurs-Pelicans. I think that game would be Friday. So if they do win and they take on the Grizzlies, 7 seed taking on the 2 seed, I haven't yet, you know, done the research to see how many 7s have beaten a 2 seed. I know it hasn't happened often. I'm asking you to peek way ahead now. In a 7-game series, Wolves-Grizzlies, what do you think that looks like? Who comes out on top and by how many games?
I think it's going to come down to the last game. I do. I mean, I could be wrong there, but I think it's going to come down to a game 7. Is it 5 in the first round or 7?
It's 7 now, yeah. They went back to 7. Yeah,
so it used to be 5. But, yeah, so now, yeah, I think it can come down to a game 7. And again, home court advantage. Matters, but I do think the Timberwolves can do it. Now, this is the thing. If the Timberwolves go up early, like 2-0 or something like that, or they can, you know, the goal is win the ones at home and then steal one on the road. Yep. And if they can steal one on the road early, I think they put doubt into the Grizzlies. And I think Ja Morant forces the issue. You know, when you're a young superstar and you're a two, I mean, he jumped the Warriors. He's jumped all these teams that, you know, nobody expected the Grizzlies to be better than the Warriors, you know, on paper at least. And so when you jump the 3-seed Warriors, who have been the best in the West for years, you're right behind the Suns. And so the way their path looks now is going to be them and the Suns in the final game, because the way it sits, they have to beat the Warriors. You know, we know the Suns are going to get the worst of the lower seeds, of the four or five, you know, probably the four versus the one, two versus three is how it usually plays itself out on paper. But it's a lot of pressure. I mean, they have a lot of the Timberwolves are playing with house money, you know, getting into the playoffs. You know, that's that the fact that they re-signed Chris Finch to an extension showed right there that they're like, okay, wow, we didn't even think this guy gets the playoffs. He gets to the playoffs. Then they extend him. And then you look at what comes after that. All right, well, now we're playing with house money. Nobody expects us to be here. Our coach has got a big contract. He's coming in pumped and juiced. He's going to have a new zest to coach because he's like, my security, I'm secure. Like, I don't have to coach like I'm scared to lose a game. And so you'll see him coach a little bit more relaxed. You'll see him, you know, try to do some new things. And hopefully there's some wrinkles in this offense that we have not seen from Anthony Edwards. But if Anthony Edwards, I mean, he scored 49. If he gets hot, that's the key. If he can get hot and Cat's hot, I don't think the Grizzlies or the Clippers have enough. And this is a crazy one. Yes, it's crazy. But I don't think the Warriors could handle those three getting hot or those two getting hot, because Klay is back. But who really knows how back he is? You know, Steph, that's the equalizer. Steph is better than, I think, every shooter out there. But the Timberwolves, you know, I do think they have a chance. I am concerned about them trying to beat the Suns and the Wizards. Those are two teams, or the Warriors, sorry, yeah. The two teams that scare me. The rest of the West honestly doesn't scare me. But again, I'm also looking at, I'm a LeBron James, old school, you know, James Harden, KD, Russell Westbrook, when he was actually good type of guy. Yeah. This new age NBA where there's all these new young stars, you know, coming up, where we're looking at LeBron trying to wait to play with his son. It's just different. So when I'm thinking NBA, I don't see a scary team other than those top three. And the fact that the Grizzlies are one of those top three, they're not scary to me. But maybe it's just because their name is the Grizzlies. It's like if the Jaguars all of a sudden got into the playoffs next year with the NFL, I'm still not going to be scared of the Jaguars being in the playoffs or the Lions. Like if the Lions make the playoffs next year somehow as a NFC, you know, wild card, I would not be scared of the Lions, even if they're in the play, even if they were the 2 seed and somehow they got a bye. I mean, and that's where the Grizzlies, and I have to get that out of my head. That's old school, you know, Grizzlies. This is not the new John Morant Grizzlies, but to me, I'm still holding on to that old school. And there's something to that with big brother, little brother. When you don't see your opponent as scary, you have fun and you play well. And that, I think that's the key. That's how I am at Lifetime Fitness. When I look at a team across from me that we're about to play and I see a 55-year-old dude trying to guard me, I mean, I'm 42, so I'm old too, but I'm like, man, I'm going to get this guy some work. And I hope that's how Anthony Edwards comes into the game.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that mentality that you're talking about, I think some teams might look at the Timberwolves the same way, right?
I mean, true.
Playoffs one time in the last 20 years, 19 years, I guess.
I'm the same way. I'm not scared of the Timberwolves either. Yeah. I just think you got two teams that nobody's scared of.
Yeah.
Let's roll the dice and see what happens. I will say I'm interested in what that betonline.com, you know, line is going to be when it is Grizzlies Timberwolves, because there will be some easy money out there, because I feel like that's two underrated teams. And I think they're going to give way too much credit to the Grizzlies. So there'd be some sneaky bets in there you can walk away with.
And the Wolves have matched up well against, and I don't want to look too far past the Clippers, although I guess we already kind of have, but the Wolves have played the Grizzlies well this year. They blew them out by like 35 at one point. They took them to overtime in another game that they ended up losing. They actually have played well against the Grizzlies. They've played well against the Nuggets. Some of the other teams that you know, beside the Warriors and the Suns that you mentioned, they've actually matched up pretty well against.
Yep,
okay.
That's what I say. Yep.
Great. Appreciate you coming on, Ron. Tell the folks where they can find you. Locked On Sports Minnesota. Tell us about the show, where they can find it.
Yeah, it's Locked On Sports Minnesota. You can search for the Ron Johnson Show. I am the host, Ron Johnson. It's a daily sports talk show. We hit everything from basketball to baseball to football to hockey to even women's basketball. Don't sleep on the links and some of my Diana Taurasi takes. But, you know, we just have fun with it. We have a daily three where it's 3 questions, 3 minutes. They put me on the stopwatch and I have to kind of get it out in 3 minutes. So that's a fun, fast pace. We do a trade it or keep it. We have a couple different games we play that throughout the week. So it's a fun show. Tune in. Great guest. This week we had Gabe Henderson from the Vikings talking about his relationship with Dwayne Haskins when he was working for the Washington football team. And then we, in the past, we've had some others, but coming up, we're going to, you know, we're going to have Tony Dungy. We're going to have Jamila Hill, Heisman Trophy winner, Mark Ingram, Darius Butler, Reggie Wayne. So we're going to have some good guests as we grow the show. So feel free to podcast and check us out, subscribe, and stay tuned.
Man, that's a great list of guests. It's going to be awesome.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Ron. And make sure to go subscribe to Ron's show. And thanks again, Ron.
No, thank you.
All right. Big thanks to Chuck Mockla of Locked On Clippers and, of course, Ron Johnson of Locked On Sports Minnesota. A packed show today. Looking forward to Wolves Clippers tonight. Of course, following the game, we'll do the live postcast myself and Chilanga Langison of Zone Coverage and CND NBA. And this CND NBA podcast, we'll do the live postcast immediately following Wolves Clippers that we'll post on YouTube. You can also then listen to this podcast, which we'll all record it late Tuesday night. We'll post late Tuesday, early Wednesday, win or lose, hopefully win. And then we can look ahead to what would then be Wolves Grizzlies this weekend. So we're going to break it all down following the show. Be sure to follow and subscribe the podcast, follow and subscribe to the podcast. And again, a big thank you to those of you that do make Lockdown Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can listen anywhere. That includes YouTube as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. You can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K. Yeah, and of course, Lockdown Wolves is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Remember, the Lockdown Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And as long as you're making us your first listen, please consider your second listen to be Lockdown NBA, from the first jump ball, the play-in tournament, which of course is tonight, to the last possession of the finals. Lockdown experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. It's the best way to get caught up on the playoff action from the perspective of some of our NBA experts at Locked On. So be sure to make your second listen Locked On NBA. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.